Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Thursday, November the 16th, one night after the Pistons had their five-game winning streak snapped on Wednesday night in Milwaukee against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. 99-95 was the final score, dropping the Pistons to 10-4. I was at the game up in Milwaukee. Not going to lie, I'm pretty tired right now as we're trying to power through the podcast so I can get some sleep for Thursday and to finish off the rest of the week. But the Pistons will continue with their road trip for the second of three legs on Friday night on the road in Indianapolis to take on the Pacers. And they're going to play Sunday night against Minnesota, a couple teams that owe the Pistons some revenge, just like Milwaukee did with the Pistons picking up home game wins against them earlier this year. The Pistons will then play the second of a back-to-back on Monday night back at home in downtown Detroit against Cleveland and LeBron James, followed by two more road games against Oklahoma City on Black Friday, and then the following Monday at Boston to take on the Celtics. A very tough stretch ahead for the Pistons, who took care of business against some bad teams and now are six games over 500 to show for it. So a pretty good stretch that continued on Wednesday night in Milwaukee at the Bradley Center against the Bucks. Like I said, I was up there, and a disappointing loss, but still some pretty good efforts all in all that we'll go over probably at length here as well. Stanley Johnson and John Lue both returned to active status, with Stanley Johnson starting and playing 18 minutes. I have some thoughts on how he played in the game. John Lue was also back in uniform but did not enter the game. He was wearing a big ankle brace that was maybe supposed to get it ready for action if he was going to get in there, but he didn't play. So Henry Ellenson, who was actually both home back in his home state of Wisconsin as well, in addition to John Lue, he was inactive and did not play, did not even dress for the game as well. And some of the bench guys didn't play, only 10 deep in this game for the Pistons, as Tolliver, Ish Smith, Langston Galloway, Eric Moreland, and Luke Kennard got pretty good minutes off the bench, but some of the Bobons and Luis Monteros of the world didn't see any action in this game. So a tough loss for the Pistons. One of the unfortunate things about this loss is they held Giannis to not a great game. So they did pretty well on him defensively. He had some lazy bad fouls called on him that kept him out of the action for quite a bit of the game. So a missed opportunity, really, if you're a Pistons fan hoping to get a two from the Bucks early in the season. But former Piston Chris Middleton led the way for the Bucks. He had 27 points on 12 of 21 shooting. He was 3-for-7 from three-point land. Also had 8 assists. So a really strong game overall for former Piston Chris Middleton, who was dealt along with Brandon Knight for Brandon Jennings. Middleton was kind of a throwaway in that deal as a second-round pick for the Pistons. It only played 1 year for them before they, like I said, kind of gave up on him. Giannis ended up with 21 points and 6 rebounds, a quiet night for him, for his standards, as he's averaging over 30 for the season. Eric Bledsoe, by the way, the Bucks are now 4-0 since Bledsoe joined the active roster, since the trade for former Piston Greg Monroe brought him over from the Phoenix Suns. Bledsoe played 30 points, struggled to score throughout most of the night, but got it going late, ended with 14 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds. Couldn't lead my draft Wednesday team to a victory, but did get the win for the Bucks, shooting 4 of 12. His quickness is, I went to the game with my friend John, who's a good, big Bucks fan, and he said that Bledsoe has more of the quickness out of a good player than he's seen from the Bucks in a long time. So a guy that can get a lot done. Offensively, his jump shot isn't anything really to be reckoned with, but a pretty strong defensive player that gave Reggie Jackson problems in the limited minutes that Reggie did play. And then also, let's say as I dropped my water bottle there, but Reggie Jackson did not play in the fourth quarter, as we'll talk about. Ish Smith played well at times in the third quarter, and since the bench group of Tolliver, Moreland, Smith, Kennard, and Galloway, since they were playing so well, Stan Van Gundy stuck with most of those guys throughout the fourth quarter as well, including Ish Smith throughout the entire fourth quarter. Didn't bring Reggie Jackson back in the game, and the Pistons suffered for it. Avery Bradley offensively, by the way, had a good game, 28 points, 8 of 18 shooting, including 6 of 10 from three-point land to lead all scorers in this game. Tobias Harris had 13, Andre Drummond 13 points and 17 rebounds, although he was kind of invisible at times as well. Kennard had 11 points off the bench, so another strong game for Luke. Langston Galloway finished with 9 points for the Pistons. But I've got some thoughts on the Bucks, got some thoughts on the Bradley Center, and some thoughts on some of the Pistons players that are a little bit more maligned than maybe some of the others as the season continues, although it's been a very successful season so far for Detroit.
Yes, sir!
Well, now I'd like to give some props out to listener Brian, who won our Draft Wednesday contest through the Draft app and Draft.com, so he got a nice chunk of change deposited into his Draft.com account. He signed up using promo code LOPISTONS and followed me at the screen name Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, all one word there, Matt Shook. And I invited him along with several others into this week's Draft Wednesday contest. We had a draft about 5:30 p.m. Eastern time and had a fun night with a large slate of NBA games. He had Joel Embiid, picked him up in the second round and had him carry him to the championship tonight. I had Bledsoe, Tobias Harris, who had a disappointing night for me. And then DeMarcus Cousins had a strong night, but couldn't carry me to the title. I got third place out of 10 teams, so still got some money deposited into my Draft.com app. So we'll do it again on next Wednesday. So go ahead and sign up at Draft.com or through the Draft app and join us for those games next Wednesday. A lot of Pistons fans are enjoying that and asking me when we're going to do the next one. When are we going to do the next one? If we do football this weekend, stuff like that. Everyone's enjoying it and looking forward to doing more throughout the season as well. But I want to talk a little bit about the Bucks. As we've talked about on the podcast, a lot of parallels between the Milwaukee organization and the Detroit organization. The Bradley Center is on its last legs. They're building a new arena that will be next door to the Bradley Center. So if you go down the streets there in downtown Milwaukee, you have the Mecca, the old arena there, and then the Bradley Center, which opened in 1988, the same year as the Palace of Auburn Hills. And then next year, they're going to open up the new, soon-to-be-named arena that the Bucks will be playing in, along with Marquette University's basketball team as well. So you got those three arenas kind of lined up next to each other, although they will be tearing the Bradley Center down after the new one is built. They've kept the Mecca up, and now the University of Milwaukee basketball team plays there as well as an AHL team as well. So it's similar to the Palace in that you walk in there, and it's a nice arena, but you don't see any reason why they need to tear it down at first glance. Like I said, built in 1988, so it's not like there's any obvious need for a new arena. I'm biased, so obviously I thought that the Palace was still a step ahead of its contemporaries. You know, I've been to the United Center, which was opened around that time too, several times, and I kind of feel like the Palace is the top of those list of three arenas, with maybe the United Center second and Bradley Center third. But apparently Adam Silver disagrees and thought that the Bradley Center was not befitting of an NBA team. He toured there in 2013 and said that the Bucks need to build a new arena. So the Wisconsin legislators agreed and get the money together to help out the new ownership group get that together and keep the Bucks in Milwaukee. So they're going to stay in the Central Division, stay in the Midwest, and with Giannis, if he stays long-term, will definitely be a thorn in the side of the Detroit Pistons for years to come. Like I said, it's a little bit more dated than the Palace was, but similarly usable. I don't see any real reason to change it up. They're having attendance issues just like Detroit is, even on a much smaller scale, though. They filled up the lower bowl pretty well as opposed to the Little Caesars Arena in the early going, only in the top of the arena, second deck, where you're seeing a lot of empty seats. But yeah, the whole top half of the second deck, which is much bigger than the Little Caesars Arena as far as the second deck goes, is all pretty much empty as well, even though you got a young and exciting Milwaukee Bucks team. But no reason to have our own form of rune porn as far as empty seat porn or something like that to talk trash about some of our Midwest brethren in Milwaukee. But Pistons dropped a tough one there, and we'll see if they are able to claw back on Friday night against another Central Division rival, the Indiana Pacers.
Detroit basketball!
Credit goes to the Detroit Pistons bench for helping the team climb back from a 14-point deficit late in the game to almost pull out a tough road victory against the Milwaukee Bucks. And call me negative, but the thing that stands out to me is, where was Reggie Jackson in that fourth quarter? Love him or hate him, and he's a really polarizing player for the Pistons these past few years in the fan base, but you have to admit that, especially so far this season, he's been kind of the closer. I called him the Todd Jones roller coaster a couple podcasts ago, and he's been the guy who's stepped up and hit the shots in the fourth quarter when the other defenses tighten up and you need someone to help create their own offense. Avery Bradley had an outstanding shooting game on Wednesday night in Milwaukee, but those kind of shots that you come around screens and you're open, well, when teams start switching, when teams start clamping down the defense a little bit in the fourth quarter down the stretch when the Pistons need a bucket, they're not as easily to come by. You need a guy who can get to the basket. You need a guy who's not afraid to step up and hit those big shots. And although Reggie gets accused of some hero ball at times, the times perhaps fairly or justly in some situations, at least he's a guy who's used to taking those shots, who wants to take those shots, and is ready to take those shots. And after Ish Smith was part of the big second half comeback at times, he played a lot of minutes late, and he was definitely not the guy who was going to get it done for the Pistons when things kind of got close at the end there. Anthony Tolliver did a great job. If you listen to this podcast, you know how I feel about AT, and he made some big shots. But when it was time for the winning to happen, you wonder why those starters didn't get on the get off the bench and back onto the court a little bit quicker. I think Stan Van Gundy is going to be second-guessing himself a little bit there, because while the bench players did play well, the Luke Kennards of the world and the Langston Galloways of the world, who hit a couple of big shots there to help drag the Pistons back into the game, I think we can kind of all agree that you should go with the guys from the starting lineup. They're starters for a reason. They should be out there for a reason at crunch time. But although one starter, Stanley Johnson, and I don't want to be the guy who rips on Stanley Johnson every day, but the numbers were bad. Up close, it was worse. Stanley had a horrific game. Defense is his calling card, and he did have some decent moments late in the first half defensively and didn't get completely abused by Giannis throughout the entire game, although he was Giannis was defended by a number of different Pistons throughout the first half. You can't just say that Stanley's always going up against the Kevin Durants of the world, the Giannises of the world, the other tough small forwards of the league every night. I mean, there's a lot of switching going on out there. It's not like he's bogged down with great all-star type of players against him every night. So he just being there live at the game, I was sitting right behind the Pistons bench. Some pretty good seats, by the way. The body language was even worse. And I know that Bill Simmons famously on his podcast talks about, and in his columns before when he used to be a writer for ESPN.com. And I'm a Bill Simmons fan, by the way, like it or hate it. I'm not a hater when it comes to Bill Simmons, but he talks about the body language ad nauseum. And really, as you watch the team up close, it's like Stanley walked around the court during, when there was no stoppage time, when there was nothing going on, didn't have any energy throughout the game on the court. You probably know this if you're a Pistons fan, but he rides the stationary bike now. I noticed that during the Philadelphia game, and I noticed that as well in the Milwaukee game. When he's not in the game, he's kind of just riding the stationary bike over in the corner. So he's not, it could be a medical thing. It could be just a habit thing. We know Dennis Rodman used to do that, and we know players that are coming off an injury do that as well. So maybe this is a temporary thing while he's dealing with the hip flexor injury, but certainly it's not something that's lending itself to being, someone who's being helpful to their teammates or anything like that. And I'm not going to make a big deal about that, because it's not like that's going to be probably something that's even ongoing or even something that's a big deal. But it's just another body language thing that doesn't really look good for Stanley Johnson out there. He looks kind of disinterested. And you wonder if maybe some of that's going to catch up with him at some point. Didn't knock him down any shots today. I think he had one layup early in the third quarter, but just was a complete non-factor in the game. And coming off injury, you'd kind of hope that he would maybe do a little better. And I'm not going to dwell on Stanley Johnson anymore. He came off, he had one rough game after the injury. He hasn't had a great start to the season, which is a big one for him because he's going to be in line for a contract extension this summer. So it's kind of a show it or maybe start thinking about moving on with your career away from the Detroit Pistons after this year and possibly next year if they want to retain his restricted free agency rights going forward. So, just something to think about going forward. Again, he's coming off of an injury, and Stan Van Gundy thought enough about him at practice yesterday to insert him into the starting lineup. So maybe it was just a bad night for him. We all have them. Absolutely. So keep an eye on Stanley Johnson going forward. And if you go to games, report to me and let me know what you think. Maybe I'm way off. Maybe you see a lot of good body language from Stanley. And then same with Reggie. You know, he wasn't in the game, and I can understand him being a successful fourth quarter guy. He wants the ball in his hands. You know, he wasn't doing anything to show leadership or anything like that. Him and he put the hood up like Andre does during warmups too. And I know Reggie Jackson's got all the conditions that maybe make him a little bit colder than the average player. So maybe that's just kind of a body temperature thing. But just a strange look from a couple guys that we are relying on as Pistons fans to come through and be leaders for this team. So we're not going to make a huge deal about this right now, but they're 10-4. They're playing well. They almost picked up a win against a hungry, tough opponent. So a lot more positives than negatives, certainly at this point in the season and probably from tonight's game as well. So let's see how this team bounces back on Friday. I'm going to have a special guest to help break down the Indiana Pacers matchup for Friday's podcast, looking ahead to the weekend. Minnesota Timberwolves on Sunday, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers coming up after that, followed by Carmelo and the Thunder, and then the Boston Celtics, who are reigning supreme in the NBA right now. So no way for Stan Van Gundy and the team to dwell on this loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, and we won't do it either here on Locked On Pistons. So I want to thank you guys for joining us, for participating in Draft Wednesday as well. This has been your host, Matt Shook, and you can follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. And thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a good Thursday.